start your engines and buckle up. It's the Light Sights. Let's go. F1 Show.
Welcome to the Light Sight. Let's go. F1 Show on Jack's Radio. And that was the fantastic Airborne with Too Much, Too Young, Too Fast. Now, there was not a race last weekend, but we still have plenty to talk through. And we have some great music from the likes of Oasis, maybe The Strokes, and Sam Ryder of Eurovision fame.
Yeah, man.
Yes, and with me this week, I have, as always, Adam and Rich. So how are we, boys?
Not too bad. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, it's been interesting you say that there was no race last weekend. Some might say there was no race the weekend before, but there you go.
He's straight in there. You missed that.
I wasn't here last week to get that off my chest. So now I'm good. We can move on. It's behind me. Let's go.
Good.
Although
man.
There was a race, there was the IndyCar race from Daytona, and it was the maddest race I have watched in a long, long time. It literally poured down with rain and then stopped and then continued doing that every 5 minutes throughout the entire race. I think there were about 10, 11 pit stops for each car going from dries to wets, back to dries. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And Colton Herter came out on top. He's a fantastic driver. And mark my words, that man will be in F1.
Really?
Ooh, really?
And I think he will replace Daniel Ricciardo at McLaren.
Ooh, big show.
That's quite a large shout, that is. Where do you think Ricciardo's going to go?
I don't know. I haven't thought that far. Yeah, I mean, I like Daniel Ricciardo a lot, but Carlton Herter has got an upcoming test with McLaren soon. I think if Daniel Ricciardo doesn't get on top of that McLaren soon, I think Carlton Herter quite possibly will take his place at McLaren either next season or the season after. But Colton Herter's got a hell of a lot of talent. He did an amazing save on Saturday in the race. He was coming around one of the corners and literally completely sided, like went sideways, came right around the corner, caught it unbelievably, and then by the next corner, taking the lead of the race. It was unbelievable.
What?
Yeah, it's worth watching. I'll try and find it on Twitter.
That's definitely. I need to catch up on that. It sounds absolutely insane. It sounds good.
Very good. Yes. But yeah, so we just got a load of sort of news to chat through, and I've just sprung it on them. I've got a quiz for the boys as well, which they are, of course, they're looking forward to.
Oh, we're all over it, Adam, aren't we? I can tell you're just
100%.
Jumping at the bit.
Okay, so first question. This isn't the quiz, but this is a question of a talking point. So Mercedes, are we going to see a step forward for Mercedes in Barcelona?
I hope so.
I think we have to, surely.
Got to. Yeah, absolutely, Adam. They have to. Yeah. They have to. I don't know if they made any changes ahead of Barcelona.
Yes, I've got high hopes. Do you know what? It's potentially could be, should we throw it out there? Could be a win for Mercedes if it all works out.
Oh,
really?
I mean, if not a podium. I mean, they haven't been far off the podiums anyway. Yeah, and they have got a few podiums through luck. But here we are. So, their update that they're bringing to Spain is a completely redesigned floor for the car. It's their first major upgrade, and it's the first upgrade that is their real anti-porpoising correction, which means if it works, they can run the car to its designed ride height, and therefore extract the downforce that they clearly see in the wind tunnel from this car. So if it works, it could be huge.
And it's going to, I mean, really, you know, for them as a whole, it has to work. I mean, because otherwise now not only are you getting too deep into the season, but you've clearly spent a lot of manpower, resources, money thrown at it, and you're going to get a real test now on a like-for-like track because it's the same track. And if they haven't made any improvement whatsoever.
However, at Barcelona test, they didn't run this concept of car in testing. They ran
fair.
Well, it just means that they at least have some form of benchmark that they're moving forward in the right way. Because if they're not quicker than their Barcelona figures, then it really is, you know, we've almost got to bin it off, boys, you know?
However, and this is what I've been saying to a lot of people who've been asking me about this and about Mercedes. And Andrew Shovelin, actually, I saw a comment from Andrew Shovelin who is kind of echoed what I've been saying. And his comment was, it's not about fixing the issue short term now. It's about finding a direction that will take us through the next 3 to 4 years of regulations. So I've been saying this for a long time that the concept of car that they've got, the numbers they're seeing in the wind tunnel are phenomenal. And clearly they believe in this car if they can fix this Porpoising issue. Yeah. Which maybe is not a easy thing to fix, but they believe that they can fix it. So it's necessarily not about winning this year, but perhaps enabling them, if they believe in their numbers and the numbers come true, being able to dominate for the next 3 to 4 years. It's about longevity in this regulation, because perhaps the Red Bull and Ferrari have perhaps lucked into being fast at the box, but there might not be sort of long-term development scope within that car, whereas the Merc concept could have a hell of a lot of development scope within it.
So do you think that that shows a unwritten longer term commitment to F1 by Mercedes, or do you think that that's them positioning their team that's going to be more marketable as a selling point if they're on the right track with new teams coming into the sport?
No, I see it as longevity. I think
They've got to have longevity. Given that we've had a bit of an inkling that Volkswagen Audi group with the Audi and Porsche brands are quite probably going to enter F1 now. You know, they want to make sure that they are the premier German mark.
I think Williams would be the team that goes under to one of those teams. So it'd be Audi, wouldn't it? Because Porsche would just be an engine supplier to Red Bull. I think Audi albeit Volkswagen anyway, but I think Audi will take over the Williams team. I think we might lose the Williams name.
That was going to be my question.
Or it becomes Audi Williams or Williams Audi, you know, something like that.
That means if they do that and they get rid of the Williams name, I will officially disassociate myself from my nigh on 200,000 mile Audi that I've got, which I've had for 11 years. Be a good excuse to get rid of it and get something else.
But I'm glad Andrew Shovelin came out with that, because I've been saying that for ages for people.
Because it makes you look clever, is that what it is?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it makes me look really clever. Yeah, which is really good.
makes you look like you know what you're talking about.
But I definitely think that, you know, that they clearly believe in that concept of car, and the numbers they've been seeing are fantastic. They just need to be able to sort out that Porpoising, and they believe this new floor will do that and allow them run it closer to the ride height that they can see the numbers. So it'd be very interesting to see what happens in Barcelona, really.
It will.
Very interesting, indeed. Yes. And Hamilton saw a good interesting comment from Hamilton as well, really. So, again, I don't believe in all the press stories around he's not performing and, you know, he's being outperformed by Russell and this and that, because, you know, he actually hasn't. There's been a bit of luck, and George has perhaps, I think we spoke about last time, George has made some of his own luck, which is good. But Hamilton hasn't been outclassed by George. There's just been different scenarios that have happened. I think, you know, Lewis clearly is still enjoying his driving, and, you know, he clearly wants that eighth. But obviously the press stories have been, you know, Lewis has got his head down and, you know, it's not going right for him. Is he going to walk away from the sport? Rubbish. Now, the comment that I saw from Lewis was 4 bad races, 5, 6, 7, or even 10 bad races is not going to stop me doing what I love. I've been racing for 29 years and had more difficult times than this, and I've bounced back. I mean, clearly that's a statement from him saying, you know, there's been times that he's had tough cars or whatever, and he clearly still loves his racing. I don't think he's in love with the FIA, and nope. I think this jewelry stuff, I've got a bit of story on that that we come on to afterwards in a bit. I think part of that story is more than just the jewelry. I think that's Lewis facing off against the FIA, but
yeah, I agree. I think he is. I've said for a while, I think he's absolutely doggedly determined to get title number 8. And I think when he gets it, he will then leave the sport.
Yeah.
Retire after he's done that. I think that's what he will do.
I think so. And perhaps I'm wrong about Daniel Ricciardo, because perhaps if that comes in a season or two, perhaps Norris goes to Mercedes and Colton Herta goes to McLaren alongside Ricciardo. But who knows?
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows? Right, okay, let's go to a song. And then, we will talk a bit more. So, Rich, this is one of yours.
It is. I'll say this isn't the most challenging link I've ever done, if I'm honest. So the last tune I had was Liam Gallagher's Everything's Electric, which I really love. And Liam Gallagher, I don't know if you knew, but he used to be in another band. He used to be in another band with his brother, and it was a little band called Oasis. And this is one of their seminal tracks, and I love it. And it's What's the Story, Morning Glory.
How long did it take you to come up with that link, Rich?
Good 4 or 5 hours. I was agonising over it.
Wonderful. Yeah. Right, this is Morning Glory. That was Oasis with Morning Glory on the Light Side. Let's Go F1 show on Jack's Radio, and we are all mad for it. That was a great choice, Rich, I must say.
Oh, yeah. It's a great cheer. It's probably one of my favourite, you know, classic Oasis tracks, that one.
When I often listen to Oasis, it's not necessarily a track that I would just pick out. I'd listen to it if it was on the, you know, if I was listening to an album. But it's not one that I automatically go to, but yeah, it's a great track. Absolute cracker. Absolute cracker.
Right.
Yes. Right. Okay. So we have a possible sequel in F1. Does anyone know what I'm on about?
A sequel?
Yes, a sequel. This is Michael Massey, The Return. Or Michael Massey 2.
Oh, anyway. Boy. What could possibly go wrong?
safety car a go-go. Here we go.
This is a new story that I think it's from an interview with Mohammed Ben Sulayem, where he suggested Michael Massey will make a return in some capacity, but as yet an unknown capacity. And the press have clearly run with this story and, you know, making it sound like he's now going to be race director, you know, perhaps for a race or whatever. I think the press have basically, as they always do, taken something that someone said and completely ran with it and, you know, added 2 and 2 together and got 10. And just to make
that doesn't sound like them.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't sound like something the press would do at all in the slightest.
No, I know.
I think I said, what's he going to come back and do? I think he's going to come back and be like, you know, T-boy or something.
Yeah, and I'm sure Will Buxton has said it, but with a really, really, you know, long pause between his sentences to make it really dramatic. But
you don't like Will Buxton, do
no,
you?
I don't like Will Buxton.
I can't stand
we'll
it.
Move on. We will move on.
I reckon. What about if Massey becomes the new safety car driver?
Yeah, possibly. That could work. Yeah, possibly. Well, personally, Michael Massey was actually very good at all the safety stuff, you know, and going around the tracks, checking all the safety stuff, looking at, you know, when the new track's being built. I've seen a bit of a documentary on when I think the Miami track was being built last year, or they were looking at designs and he was talking about the safety aspect. So, I mean, yeah.
I think whatever he comes back with, he'll have the word consultant after it.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
I'll put a lot of money that he'll be some form of a consultant to the FIA.
However,
that's what you do, isn't it? You get, you know, you cock stuff up at work, you leave, and then you come back 20 minutes later as a consultant.
Yes.
47 times more money.
He's one never day, actually.
One day the penny's going to drop with me one of these days, I tell you.
He's never actually left them, is he? He was never actually sacked by the FIA. He was just moved roles, you know. So it's not as if he's coming back because, you know, he left and come back. He was always part of the FIA, so there's no real story there. I just think, personally, the FIA, you know, they need some sort of training in like how to talk to the press and that, because like Michael Masi's name is so inflammatory, you know, if Mohamed Ben Sulayem has not yet knowing what capacity he's going to come back, don't say anything, because the press are going to run with it because it's Michael Masi's name tied to a comment. Do you know what I mean? It's like, just don't say anything for now.
Yeah, here we are all talking about the FIA.
Exactly. Yeah,
so well, there you go. I mean, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Oh, that's the game, isn't it, Adam? That's the game. They're winning. They're winning. Column inches. Doesn't matter. Any press is good press, even bad press.
Defund the FIA. Defund the FIA. That is going to be the Let's Go F1 shows. You know,
how are you going to
line.
Do that, seeing as you're going to Grand Prix this year?
Well, I think Formula One rights holders should move to another governing body and get rid of the FIA. But yeah, there you go. Anyway,
FIFA.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah,
because they're not. They ain't got any problems. Yeah. There's no history there, is there? Let's be honest.
Exactly.
perhaps the bowls governing body can take it over, because that's another fantastic sport. But
yeah. Long crayon green bowling. Oh, crayon green or what's the other one? Indoor. Oh, I bet they have some ding-dongs, don't they?
They do. Right. So as I mentioned a bit earlier, the jewellery ban rumbles on. So I think many drivers are in support of Hamilton.
By the way, this one's passed me by a little bit. I've kind of heard of it, but I don't really get the jewellery ban.
Well,
talk me through it. What's that?
It came in in 2005. So it's been there for a long time. It's been there prior to Hamilton. Yeah. Basically, you shouldn't be wearing jewellery, because most sports have this rule anyway. It's a safety rule. OK, particularly in terms of metal gets very, very hot, you know, and if you're in a fire and stuff, that could cause greater injuries by having piercings.
Yeah.
It could get snagged on, you know, when you're trying to remove helmets or whatever, things like that. So there's that sort of safety area. It's the same with wearing, not wearing their own underwear, but wearing the fireproof underwear, because certain materials like nylon, as it gets hot, can melt to the skin, things like that. Yeah. And drivers are kicking up a bit of a fuss over this, but I mean, my personal view, take it off, you know. Many drivers do have or do wear jewellery, particularly rings, wedding rings, you know. It probably disproportionately affects Lewis Hamilton. And this is an interesting fight between the FIA and Hamilton. But just take them off. Do you know what I mean?
I think there's some fairly.
Do you
want
to die on that hill?
Yeah, there's some fairly obvious safety reasons. I didn't realise the rule had been in since 2005, and they're just trying to enforce it. I mean, it's not like they get out of the car at the end of the race and they get slapped a dirty great watch on their wrist anyway by whoever happens to be sponsoring the team at the time. So, you know, it's only for the time they're in the car.
However, the one thing that did make me think, and that was K-Mag. K-Mag came out and said, "I'm happy to sign a waiver." Okay, because he said, he said Formula One is a dangerous sport. We all saw what happened to Romain Grosjean. Yeah, he said, if I was sat in Grosjean's car and I couldn't get out and I knew my fate, what I want with me is my wedding ring, because it's the one link to my wife.
He's good, isn't he, K-Mag?
Yeah,
he's good.
Very interesting comment.
Yeah,
very interesting comment.
And I'll sign a waiver to say, if I burn myself because I've worn my wedding ring or a necklace or whatever, then that's my decision. Because they all take that risk, do they not? But yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Is that a slippery slope, though? Is that a slippery slope, offering a waiver for that sort of safety rule, and then all of a sudden you start, well, if I can sign a waiver for that, I don't want to have a halo on my car. I'll sign the waiver.
Yeah, I get that. Or wear a crash helmet or whatever. Yep.
Right.
But, however, there is an exemption on religious grounds for religious jewellery. It's a tricky one, isn't it, really?
I am glad that Kevin Magnussen has come back into F1 this year.
I love him.
I like a bit of K-Mag.
He's great.
He's not afraid to stir it up a little bit as well, is he? You know, I love him.
Yeah, love him. Did anybody see the Monaco Classic race?
Yes.
Sunday?
I understand somebody
Did you see Charles Leclerc?
Somebody had a bit of an accident, didn't they?
Yes.
In a rather expensive Ferrari, I believe, wasn't it?
Did you see his tweet?
No.
From Leclerc, he just says, when you thought you'd already had all the bad luck of the world in Monaco.
Yes, I did, yeah.
And then you lose the brakes into Rascasse with one of the most iconic historical Ferrari Formula One car of all time.
Yeah, so just for anybody who doesn't know, Charles Leclerc binned Niki Lauda's 1974 Ferrari F1 car into the barriers at the Rascasse, and kind of came back to the pits with a rear wing not looking so healthy and a classic car not looking that great. I don't think it was his fault, though. Apparently, it was a brakes issue.
Yeah, it was a brakes.
But even still, yeah, it's not a great look, is it, when you're limping back with a very, very expensive accident. But there you go. That was all a bit of fun.
Well, it, you know what? It can all be repaired. It can all get made.
Yes, exactly. I mean, those cars are like Trigger's broom nowadays anyway. You know, so many things in all those races have been replaced. Is it the same car that Niki Lauda drove? It's got the same VIN number, whatever, isn't it? But that's about it.
Right. That's about it.
Exactly. Same chassis number, that's probably about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Trigger's broom, great reference, I like that.
Yeah, thank you. Right, let's go to a song and then we do a bit more. So, Adam, we're going to come to one of yours.
All right, well, in my ongoing struggle to keep you boys relevant and up to date, I've actually got another new song that I've come across this week. In fact, this is so new, the album hasn't even been released yet.
You're so down with the kids. I love this.
Aren't I there? Well, so here's where I'm not down with the kids, though. This is by a band called Mount Joy. But for all I know, it could be MT Joy. But I'm pretty sure it's Mount Joy because of the way it was written.
I was going to pronounce it Mount Joy when you sent it to me, but it could be MT Joy, but who knows?
Let's go with, this is a song by Mount Joy off of their new upcoming album, Orange Blood. And this is a track called Evergreen.
That was Evergreen. That was Mount Joy. And this is a light sight. Let's go. F1 show on Jack's radio. Okay.
That was a pretty good track. I thought that was a good track.
Took a course on the hop there at the end, didn't it? Almost.
Yeah, almost.
Stop. Now we finish.
A little bit of a punk undertone there. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite like that. Yeah, pretty good. So I'm about to listen to the rest of their album. Yeah, nice.
Oh, not till next month, Dan. Doesn't tie up to next month. Did I not mention how relevant and up to date this track was?
You are very, very, very relevant, Adam.
Absolutely.
Anybody tell you otherwise?
Absolutely groundbreaking. Right, okay, what else we got? Just a quick few things and then we can get on to the quiz. So did you know that Nick De Vries is taking Alex Albon's seat at Williams for FP1 in Barcelona?
Ooh, no, I did not.
Now, I knew he was doing a test. I was interested to see which Williams seat he was going to take for FP1. I think he's taken Albon's because I think Williams are pitting him against Latifi to see how he does.
100%.
Because quite possibly they might put him in partway through the season to replace Latifi.
Yep. Are we suggesting Latifi is on very thin ice here?
I think so, yes. I think so, because I think pretty much the start of this season and obviously the end of last season, it's the safety car sponsored by Latifi, really, isn't it?
It is, really. Exactly. Let's be clear.
There you go. Did you see Vettel on Question Time?
I'd heard about it. I haven't yet seen it.
I thought he was very good.
Did you?
Yeah, he was very eloquent, and I think he had some good points. Definitely.
Yeah, I didn't watch it yet. I have it queued up. I just haven't had a chance to get to it yet, but... I mean, you can fill us in, obviously, but I heard he was even questioning whether he should be racing in F1.
That was an interesting point because he was talking about the climate stuff, and somebody said, you know, yeah, but you race in Formula One. That's the, you know, it's a big gas guzzling. And he said, yeah, you're right. I'm a hypocrite. You know, I am talking about this. Sometimes it makes me question about, you know. Mm-hmm. What Formula One is all about and my position there. So it was a good way of answering that question, I think. I think he made some good points.
Sometimes when you get into that sort of discussion, you know, it's interesting. Can you make the argument that you need to continue to race in F1 because it's given you a platform to say the things that you want to say about climate change, Or is it just a way of justifying it because you're really an absolute hypocrite and you're not prepared to give up the one thing that you love to stand behind everything that you're trying to campaign against? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But F1 also do make good strides towards, you know, efficient engines, efficient fuel, and they do lead the way, a lot of that.
Yeah, the hybrid stuff is there. Yeah. We're okay with hybrid engines in supercars now. I'll be interested to see. I am going to queue up and have a little look and see what Vettel on question time looks like. And I don't know, I think sometimes when you get people on there, I think they've had a couple of comedians on there who are very good when they know what they're going to say and they have the stage and they have the command. And then they go, and I'm looking at you, Russell Brand. When he was on Question Time, he was useless, and he got found out massively. So it's very interesting. I think it's a very, 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 you've got to be very, very sure of your opinions and be able to back them up, you know, not just eloquently, but, you know, to real people. Yeah. And that's, and I think when you also see it, it's when you realise, love them or loathe them, why politicians do what they do. They're extremely thick-skinned and resilient.
Yeah, no, I agree. And talking of Vettel, Vettel was to miss out on the only Aston Martin B-spec car that is coming to Barcelona because the owner's son, Lance Stroll, will be getting that car. But there you go.
Shocker.
Surprise.
Yeah, there's no shock, is it? Right, okay, let's go to a song. And then we've got the quiz. So you're all looking forward to that. And Rich, this is one of yours.
Yeah, so, you know, sort of went from Oasis, what's the story, Morning Glory, to somebody who started off in a punk and metal band, and one of those punk bands was called Morning After, believe it or not. And also his recent song does have an ever so slight nod to Oasis in the bridge, apparently, although I didn't really hear it on Saturday night. And Saturday night gives you the clue. This is Sam Ryder with the Eurovision entry that came second, which was kind of where we needed to be, given Ukraine won it, with Spaceman.
So that was the fantastic vocalist Sam Ryder with the 2022 Eurovision entry for the UK, which was Spaceman. And this is the Lightsight Let's Go F1 show on Jack's Radio. And now we come to the quiz, which I have titled, and let's be fair, this is the only reason why I'm doing the quiz is for this title. It's called Do You Know Your Haas from Your Alpine?
Oh, okay, nice.
So
nice. How long did it take you to think of that? Come on.
I thought about it about 2 months ago and never had a chance to use it. I thought, right, if I do a quiz, I can call the quiz that. Right, okay, so let's crack on. Okay, go on, so Charles Leclerc completed a Grand Slam in Austria this year. Who was the last Ferrari driver before him to do this?
Alonso.
Okay, Alonso and Raikkonen. What race? It was Alonso.
Right. No, I'll shut up.
What race or what year?
It was 2000.
Don't look it up, by the way, because I can see you reading. I'm not looking. Okay, okay. No, I want to see your hands.
My laptop.
Okay,
laptop's
good.
Over here.
Good, good.
I'm gonna go 2000, and I'm really upset about this because this was actually my stat several weeks ago, and I can't remember. I want to say 2009.
No. 2010, Singapore.
Oh, 2010. I knew it was Singapore. I did know it was Singapore.
Okay. But, you know, you got half a point for Alonso. That's pretty good. Okay. Carlos Sainz's retirement in Australia came to an end of a run of how many race finishes he had before that retirement?
Ooh, 30.
30 from Rich, Adam.
I'm going to go way higher. Okay. I'm going to go 135.
135. Okay. The answer is 31.
No!
Rich, you were so close.
Rich.
Okay.
I thought it was just over a season's worth of races. I knew over that.
Okay, so we're all pleased that K-Mag is back. You know, it's fantastic having him back in F1. But we all know it was a late call-up for K-Mag. So he was set to race in the World Endurance Championship. But do you know who for? And I'll give you multiple choice here. Either Ferrari, Peugeot, Cadillac, or Alpine.
Alpine.
Okay, Rich says Alpine. Adam.
Peugeot.
The answer is Peugeot.
Oh.
The only reason I went with Peugeot.
It's French. I can't need it.
But actually, can I tell you the only reason I went with Peugeot is because I thought I'd read it was Porsche. So therefore, I'm like, well, it's got to be a P then. So I'll go with Peugeot.
There you go. Okay, so Lewis Hamilton's 10th finish in Saudi Arabia. When was the last time he finished 10th in a race? Or at least a year?
2009.
I agree.
It was 2012. It was the Korean GP in 2012.
I'd never.
That was it. Yeah, 2011 and 2012 weren't exactly banner seasons.
Yeah,
2012 wasn't.
Okay, so the Hulk, Nico Hülkenberg. So before filling in for Vettel this year, what was his last F1 race? And I've got a choice here. It's either 2020 Silverstone, 2020 Abu Dhabi, 2021 Spain, or 2021 Eifel GP.
2021 Eifel GP.
Okay, Adam?
2020 Silverstone.
It was 2021 Eifel GP.
Well done, Rich.
There you go.
He's the stand-in of stand-ins, Mr. Hülkenberg, is he not?
Yes, he is, yes.
Because he's had quite a few to come into over COVID, hasn't he? I think he had some in 2020.
Always the stand-in, never the standout.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, very true. I think you're all going to get this one. So only one driver has finished every race so far this year in the top five. Who is it?
Mr. Russell.
Yeah, you're better than that one. Okay, what team's car this year is named the A522?
Alpine.
Aston Martin.
Okay. The answer is Alpine.
I couldn't go for the same as him again. I had to go something.
Okay,
so
what
I
is
just went for the other A team?
So, Zhou Guan Yu is the only rookie on the grid this year. What is his race number?
Oh, wow. No idea.
Yeah, there you go.
Is it 32? Why have I got that in my head?
32?
Yeah.
The answer is 24.
Ah, nowhere near. There we are.
Okay,
that was a tedious answer, wasn't it? It was just like, yeah.
Which team?
Yeah, I still don't care.
No, guessing numbers here. There we are.
So
it does highlight one thing that they don't put the numbers on the side of the car very well. I've thought that for ages. They got them on the nose cone a little bit. You never know, do you?
They're a bit clearer this year, but yeah, it is quite hard to see. Okay. All the 10 teams by the fourth race of the season have scored points. Okay, so but at the end of the fourth race, all teams have actually scored a point. When was the last time? What year? When was the last time that this happened?
Oh, Lord. That's... Ooh.
I don't think it's that long ago.
I think it is.
I'm going to go 20... 2018?
Okay, 2018, right, Adam.
I will go much older just because I've truly got no idea. So I'm going to go 92.
92, wow, okay. It was 2018. There you go. And the last question, who's...
I want to see Rich's hands from here on out because I'm...
Mate, you know, look, I've got a tape deck, a lava lamp, and an electric fan behind me. As you can see, I am not tech around here, honestly.
I want to see where your camera's going in the other direction, because I reckon you've got the fastest Google Hands in the West.
I have not got the fastest.
He's had a couple of lucky guesses.
I've just got the knowledge, man.
Encyclopedic, mate. Encyclopedic. Yeah.
Okay, last question. Whose car is named the VF22?
Aston Martin.
Adam,
not a clue.
Come on, just pick anything.
Haas.
It's Haas.
Yes.
There you go.
He got one.
Right.
He got one.
Excellent. Okay.
In fairness, I only got that one by default because I'm like, well, the actual name of the quiz was Know Your Alpine from Your Haas.
No, and know your Haas from your Alpine.
Haas from your Alpine. And we haven't had a Haas question the whole thing, so there we go.
There you go. Which is what I thought after I said Aston Martin. Never mind.
Okay, so let's do some quick predictions for Barcelona then. Very, very quick, because we've got about a minute left. So I am going to go. I reckon Merck's update is gonna work, and I'm going Lewis, Max, and Leclerc. Wow!
I reckon that the upgrade's gonna work, and I'm gonna go even bigger and gonna go Lewis, Russell,
Leclerc. Wow! And Leclerc. Okay.
I think it is gonna work. I'm gonna go Russell.
Okay.
Verstappen.
Yeah.
Leclerc.
Okay, so I think something's going to happen to Hamilton. So we all have faith in this update. Interesting. Okay, boys, so that brings us to the end of our show. And it's been a good one, I think. I quite enjoyed the quiz. And obviously, the title of the quiz is genius. I don't know.
That's just generally what it was all about, was knowing your Haas from your Alpine, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I hope you've enjoyed it at home, and it'd be great to hear how many score you got at home. So you can follow us on Twitter, which is @lights_F1. You can listen to any of our shows on the jacksradio.com website and go to the listen again functions. And you can listen to any of our songs from any previous shows on our Spotify playlist, which is LOLGF1 Jacks Playlist. And tonight, playing us out, is a band called Thunder with Gimme Shelter. So, boys, do you want to say goodbye?
I do. Goodbye.
Yeah, me too. And I will see both you boys in the flesh next week.
I know. It's exciting.
You certainly will. And it's just time for me to say goodbye and drive safely.